minutes in one topic. But so what I'll cover today is both a demonstration of the derivation of a model with solid and minimal supersymmetric standard model spectrum in the observable sector below the string scale. And this is for the first time since superstring phenomenology has begun 15 years ago. And the second thing that I'll discuss some preliminary steps in studying the embedding of the free fermionic models in the framework of M and F series. So the first question that I think is important to ask is, why should we care about superstring in the first place? Maybe this is not the right place to ask it, but I think still it's an important question. So I think the essence of the standard model, as we know from its multiplet structure, is that it strongly indicates the existence or the realization of unification in nature. And we all know that the standard model fermion multiplets fit into representations of higher unifying gauge groups like 10 or 5 bar in SU5 and into the 16 of SO10, or into 27 if we add the EX. And this is really the essence of the standard model. So the essence of the standard model indicates the realization of unification in nature. However, this unification, as we all know, must be realized at a scale which is much larger than the standard model scale, the Lewis scale, due to constraints from proton decay. And so both the data that the standard model provides in the form of its multiplet structure and the constraints from unification indicate that we have a large desert scenario. And I find it difficult to believe that any framework which tries to have a much lower cutoff scale will not run into conflict with the problem of proton decay. So the low energy data gives strong support for unification in the big desert scenarios. However, point quantum field theories are incomplete in the sense that there are too many parameters. For example, how do three generations arise and the mass anarchy among them. And finally, quantum mechanics and gravity, quantum field theories and gravity are incompatible. And therefore, unification points to that these problems will be addressed in the framework of a fundamental Planck scale theory. Superstring theory at present gives us a consistent unification of gravity with the gauge interactions, and as such, at present, it is the best known probe to Planck scale physics. This does not mean that necessarily it's a fundamental theory, just that it provides us an effective framework to study Planck scale physics effects and how they relate to standard model terminology. So it makes sense to ask, is it possible to connect the superstring with a standard model? Now, over the last few years, we've developed better understanding of superstring theory, and we now know that all string theories are supposedly connected via some underlying theory, which is dubbed M theory, which is not yet known. However, I think that it's plausible to say that suppose we first had this fundamental, this underlying theory, then what we would have done in order to connect it with real data or real physics is to develop perturbation theory around one of its most relevant limits. So I think that essentially what we're doing in the framework of perturbative string theory. Furthermore, I think that it's still viable to claim that this corner is still the most viable phenomenologically, because it's the only one that naturally gives rise to the SO10 unification structures, whereas the other corners do not naturally give rise, for example, to the 16 of SO10. So if you take the SO10 underlying SO10 structure as a serious indication, I think that you should, given the standard model data, given the fact that we see that all three generations fit into 16 representations of SO10, And there was no reason for it to have been the case. So if you take this as your serious guide, then you have to take the Essotian structure as playing a fundamental role. So there are two complementary approaches to superstring phenomenology. The first, which I term as the view from above, is that let mass be our guide. First, understand the nature of the non-perturbative Planck-scale theory, and then the two-string vacuum will be uniquely fixed, and its Lorentzian phenomenological consequences will be unambiguously determined. The second view is that we have to use low-energy data to single out phenomenologically viable superstring vacua, and then such string models will be instrumental to understand the string dynamics which select them. So the aim in trying to do superstring phenomenology is the first step is to construct a realistic superstring model, and in order for a model to be termed realistic, there are many experimental constraints, and even the first few are very difficult to achieve. For example, if we require that the star model spectrum is embedded in SO10, so that the weak hypercharge has the SO10 embedding, then already most of the string, so-called semi-realistic string models that have been constructed to date are excluded. And then we need, of course, we need to have three generations and problem stability, and then all the other phenomenological constraints which are imposed by the standard model data. Another strong constraint on the realistic string models, or on the string models that have been constructed, is that there will be no free exotics, that is, no free states with fractional electric charge surviving to low energy. Again, this already excludes most of the string models that have been constructed to date, even the three generation models. And therefore, I think that the phenomenological constraints impose very severe constraints which indicate that the effective field theory below the string scale, below, say, 10^16, 10^17 GeV, has to be the MSSM plus possibly some additional, say, color triplets and excluded doublets. However, you cannot perturb strongly, you cannot deviate strongly from the multiplet structure of the MSSM, otherwise you'll run into conflict with the phenomenological data provided by the standard model. The first task is really of superstring phenomenology is to derive the data that we observe, that is to derive the standard model. And this is the first duty of any theory. The secondary task is once we have achieved that is to examine whether it gives rise to some exotic signatures, in particular in the framework of superstring phenomenology, whether it is general signature of superstringification or specific models. And several possibilities have been discussed in the past. For example, specific scenarios for low energy supersymmetry breaking, R parity violation, additional gauge bosons, and the one I think that I find most interesting is the possibility of exotic matter. And while this imposes a strong constraint on the model, so you have to show that models can bypass it. On the other hand, it gives rise to a generic feature of superstring unification. And the feature is that in superstring theory, usually we break the non-linear gauge group by using Wilson lines. And due to this simple stringent breaking of the unified gauge symmetries, we obtain physical states that do not obey the symmetry of the original unbroken gauge symmetry. So, for example, we can get fractional electric state with fractional electric charge, or, for example, in SO10, we can get states that have the standard charges under the standard model gauge group, but will have exotic charges under the U1Z prime, which is embedded in SO10. And such states can give rise to what I call exotic Wilsonian matter states that do not have a gut origin, and will therefore produce a unique signature of superstring unification. So various possibilities have been discussed in the past to construct realistic superstring models, those that try to derive models with an non-abelian unifying gate symmetry at intermediate energy scale, and those with semi-simple GATs, and the one that I focus on is those that derives a star model directly at the string level. So we have an underlying SO10 which is realized at the string level, but it is broken directly at the string level to the star model gauge group. So the SO10, the unification structure, is still maintained, but it is not realized in the effective low energy field theory. And the reason to focus on this possibility is that if we break SO10 directly to the star model and the string level, then we have a superstring double triplet splitting mechanism in which the triplets are projected by the GSO projection, and therefore this provides a stringy solution to the to proton decay from dimension 5 operators. Another constraint that has been discussed in the past is we know that if we extrapolate the MSSM couplings to the unification scale, then there seem to meet a scale which is of the order of 10 to 16 GeV. The perturbative string predicts that the coupling should unify at a scale which is of the order of 10 to 17 GeV, so there is a factor of 20 discrepancy. Alternatively, we may say that if we assume the MSSM spectrum below the string scale, then this gives rise to contradiction with sin square theta Weinberg and alpha strong at the electroweak scale. So we have studied in detail this question with Kirch-Dinitz, and we examine all possible effects which may resolve the discrepancy, all possible perturbative effects. And our conclusion was that only intermediate matter thresholds can resolve the discrepancy, and such states, let's say a few additional multiplets in column SU3 triplets and electroweak doublets, do arise in specific string models. So that if they exist at the appropriate mass scales, then they will give rise to unification directly at the string scale. An alternative solution was proposed by Witten, in which he, in the framework of non-perturbative effects in M-theory, which pushed the string unification scale to the MSSM unification scale. However, I think that both solutions require some ad hoc fine-tuning, either by putting the extra multiplet somewhere in the desert, or by assuming that one dimension is larger than the others. So I don't think that there are any compelling reason for one solution or the other, but Witten's solution also gives the motivation to try to construct string models that produce solid MSSM spectrum below the string scale. So we all know that in 10 dimensions there are five perturbative string theories, and then together with the 11 dimensions for gravity, they're unified in the framework of M-theory. When we construct realistic superstring models, then we compactify the heterotic 10-dimensional string to 4 dimensions, and we have various 4-dimensional constructions, which include the Calabi-Yau quantifications and the orbifold, which are twisting of flat 6-dimensional torus. And one particular example that has been studied in the past is the Z3 orbifold, which give rise to models with 3 generations and the star model gauge group. However, one important point to emphasize is that these models in general do not give rise to the standard SO10 embedding of the star model spectrum. So in this framework, the weak hyperchars do not have the standard SO10 embedding, and in general will lead to contradiction with sin square theta Weinberg at the electroweak scale. Another class of orbifold models are the Z2 cos Z2 orbifold models that have been studied in the framework of the free fermionic formulation, and these models do give rise to the underlying SO10 structure of the SO10 unification, and in this case the weak hypercharge is embedded in SO10. In fact, the free fermionic models are the only models that have been constructed to date, the 3 generation models, that do give rise to the SO10 unification structure of the standard model. So briefly, let me summarize the construction of free fermionic models. So models in this framework are specified by a set of consistent boundary condition basis vectors plus one loop phases. And in all these models, there is a basic set that is sort of the mother of all the models, which is called the Naes set. And this set corresponds to Z2 cos Z2 Oberfeld quantification, where these three sectors are the three twisted sectors of the Z2 cos Z2 Oberfeld. The gauge group at this level is SO10 cos SO6 cube cos E8 plus 48/16 of SO10 from the twisted sectors. And the special property of the Z2 cos Z2 Oberfeld is that it has exactly three twisted sectors plus a permutation symmetry. And then we see that the emergence of three generations in this framework, in fact, will be tied to the fact that there are exactly three twisted sectors. So the existence of three generations in nature in this framework comes out very naturally as arising from the underlying geometry of the Z2 cos Z2 Oberfeld. In constructing the realistic models, we add three additional basis vectors beyond the Naes set, and then the SO10 symmetry is broken to the, for example, to the Stahl-Moller gauge group cross an additional U1, and the number of the generations is reduced to three. However, again, the important point to emphasize here is that the weak hypercharge in this case has the standard SO10 embedding. So the multiplex spectrum of the Stahl model here has the underlying SO10 structure. So to study the phenomenology of these models, we study the each once we analyze the spectrum, we can analyze the interaction terms in the superpotential by calculating the correlators between vertex operators, and the non-vanishing correlators have to be invariant under all the gauge symmetries and satisfy all the string selection rules. The master spectrum of this model contains an anomalous U1, which gives rise to a Fourier-Leopold term, which breaks supersymmetry at the string scale. And then we restore supersymmetry by assigning non-vanishing VEVs to some Stahl-Moller singlets in the master string spectrum along F and D flat direction. When we do that, some of these non-manageable terms will contain fields that obtain a VEV, and then we'll obtain effective normalizable operators in the effective low energy field theory. So the master spectrum of this model generically contains three generations from the sectors B1, B2, and B3, the three twisted sectors of the Z2 cos Z2 Oberfeld with horizontal symmetries. So this is the generic spectrum in a large class of models that is based on this construction. From the Nevers-Schwarz sector, we have three Higgs doublets, three pairs of Higgs doublets, plus SO10 singlets with U1 charges, and there are three singlets of the entire four-dimensional gauge group. And we have one additional sector that gives rise to one additional pair of Higgs doublets and additional SO10 singlets. And these models, again, because of the breaking of the SO10 symmetry by the Wilson line, will generically give rise to exotic matter, which can be classified according to the pattern of SO10 breaking. So these states will carry, generically, saying these two type of sectors will carry fractional electric charge plus minus 1/2. When you break the symmetry directly to the standard model, you also have sectors which give rise to the standard charges under the Stahl-Moller gauge group, but will have fractional charges under the U1Z prime, which is embedded in SO10. Recently, we have shown with Jerry Cleaver and Anopoulos, we have shown that the existence of models in which all the exotic states and all the spectrum beyond the NSSM decoupled from the low energy spectrum, and this is the first example of a string derived minimal supersymmetric standard model which produce solid NSSM spectrum below the string scale. So let me just focus briefly on this model. So this model in fact was constructed some time ago in around 1990, and again it's a prototype of a free fermionic model, which is
what's the rationale for acid solid for the NSSM spectrum? What would break supersymmetry? Sorry?
No, it's a solid MSSM spectrum in the observable sector. You still have an hidden sector, but in the observable sector, you have solid MSSM spectrum. So you have singlet and you have an hidden sector. So this is a prototype free frameoid model, which this is an AS set, and these are three additional basis vectors which extend an AS set, and it gives rise to the gauge group, which is the standard model gauge group cross U1z prime cross additional U1 symmetries, and there is an hidden gauge group, and there are three generations from the sectors B1, B2, and B3. And three pairs of X doublets from the Navier-Schwarz sector at this stage. And there is a large number of exotic states. This is the flash. This is the one table. And then in another table. So there are plenty of exotic states in another table. And finally. So, and again, the appearances of such exotic states is a generic feature of superstring unification. So, in general, most of the string models that have been constructed will not survive the criteria that there are no free exotics at the low scale. In fact, in many examples, it has been shown that such exotic states cannot be coupled from the massless spectrum. So we examine the superpotential in this model, and all the exotic states, generically the exotic states in the free fermionic models appear in vector-like representations, and in this model it is found that all the exotic states couple at the cubic level of the superpotential to a set of standard model of SL10 singlets. So if we can give a VEV to this set of SL10 singlets along the flat directions, then all the exotic fractionally charged states will decouple from the massless spectrum at the string scale, or near the string scale. So over the last few years, the group at the University of Pennsylvania have systematized the analysis of flat directions. In this model, it was not known if it has flat directions, because it turns out that the algebraic equations are somewhat complicated. So in order to solve the problem, other models, however, over the last few years, they systematized analysis of flat directions. So we applied this methodology to this model, and indeed we found solutions that give VEV, non-trivial VEVs, to this set of SL10 singlets. Here is one example, and in fact we have classified a large set of solutions with this property. So with this set of flat directions, with this set of VEVs, all the fractionally charged states decouple from the effective Lorentz spectrum. And you can show that also the extra Higgs doublets and one additional color triplet decouple from the massless spectrum by this choice of non-trivial VEVs. And so you're left below the string scale with solid the MSSM spectrum. And again, this is for the first time since the terminology of string terminology has started that such a model was demonstrated. Another feature of this model is that right. Another feature of this model is that, again, due to the flatness constraints, you can show that the U1z prime is necessarily broken at the string and the string scale by the choice of flat directions. So all the the only remaining standard model charged states or all the standard model charged states beyond the MSSM receive mass of the order of the string scale, and the existence of a large set of such flat directions give rise to the prospect of deriving realistic terminology from this model. Right. So again, I mean, you can analyze the Higgs mass matrix and show that it gets at the cubic level, you are left with two pairs, and then at the quintic order, with this set of flat directions, right, one more pair is lifted. So many of the important issues related to the phenomenology of the standard model and unification have been studied in the context of the in the past in the context of the free phenomenic models, and I'll just summarize here. So for example, the top quark mass was predicted to be of the order of 175-180 GeV several years before it was actually observed. The generation mass hierarchy, CKM mixing, stringy CISO mechanism, gauge cup unification, Poisson stability, and quark degeneracy, all these issues have been addressed in the framework of the free fermionic models. So I think that the free fermionic models provide a good laboratory to study the phenomenology of the standard model within a theory of quantum gravity. Let me again say that this is the model that is discussed here. Yeah, it's a prototype. It's a prototype example. So this is the model, and it's a model that is based. So you have a basic set, which is this set, which is an IS set, which corresponds to Z2 plus Z2 orbifold.
It is
okay.
Z2 times Z2 orbifold.
I'll tell you more about the Z2 cos the 2 orbifold, but these are the three twisted sectors of the Z2 cos the 2 orbifold. So this is a, I'll show you the correspondence with the Z2 cos the 2 orbifold. So this is a prototype example of a realistic free fermionic model. You start with this set, okay, which is five boundary conditions basis vectors, and to that you add three additional boundary conditions basis vectors. Now there is a large set of models that you can construct, numbered in there's no classification, but numbered in the thousands. So there's a large set of three generation models that you can construct. All of them have an underlying structure of the Z2 cos the 2 orbifold. So this is one example of such model. That's the way you should view it. I mean, not as the right model, but as an example that belongs to a class of models.
In a very naive way, since it's an orbifold, the theory that had an angle to call supersymmetry in four dimensions, wouldn't one expect immediately some thousands of Bayesian power couplings that would survive a twist?
That will survive one?
That will survive a twist.
Some power coupling will survive and some won't, but here you have in the effective law in the filter, you have at this level you have an n equal 1 supersymmetry, so you don't have n equal 4 supersymmetry.
Course,
so
a model with power couplings,
I'm sorry?
It will include some power couplings existing in the n equal to 4 supersymmetric model that are typically quite output for phenomenology.
Well, I'm not sure that I know what you have in mind, but you can study again in detail such questions. So what structure of the n equal 4 supersymmetry survives the GSO projection, for example? So I'm saying that this can be studied. So I'm saying that I'm not sure that I understand precisely what couplings you have in mind. But at least it can be studied explicitly. I mean, you can see what remnant of the n equal 4 supersymmetry is. But can you tell me in precisely which coupling you have in mind? Which coupling survives a twist? I don't know. I mean, you have to tell me.
It's
precise. So since fine. So you can take the model and see which coupling survives a twist. Which coupling survives which coupling that you have in mind survives the twist. So let me now move to the second topic, which is toward the embedding of these models in the framework of M and F theory. And I should just say that at this level, this is more exploratory. So what we want to see how the structures, which are basic in this fifth fermionic model, which essentially the Z equals the 2 over 4 structure, can be related to structures which appear in the framework of M and F theory, with the hope that eventually it will give rise to some improvement in the understanding of the phenomenology of these models. But at this stage, the intention is just to try to see how some structures which are basic in this free fermionic models can be studied within the framework of M and F theory. So the basic structure which underlies these models is the structure of the Z equals the 2 orbifold, and so let me briefly discuss the correspondence with the Z equals the 2 orbifold. We add to the naive set this bounding continuous basis vector, which enhances the gauge group to SF4 cube, cos E6, cos E1 squared, cos E8, with n equal 1 space-time supersymmetry and 24 generations. We can construct the same model by using the toroidal, the Narayan construction, by specifying the metric as the Cartan matrix of SO12, and the anti-symmetric tensor is given in this form, and we fix the radii at the fifth fermionic point. Then the gauge group, or the lattice in this case, is SO12, cos E8, cos E8. Now if we mod out by a Z2 cos E2 discrete symmetry with standard embedding, then we get the same gauge group that we had in the fifth fermionic construction, with n equal 1 space-time supersymmetry, and the Euler characteristic is equal to 48. Now there's an important remark to make here, and that the Z2 cos E2 orbifold on SO12 gives H11 equal to 27 and H21 equal to 3, so the Euler characteristic is equal to 48. A better known Z2 cos E2 orbifold is the one which is twisting of SO4 cube lattice, which give H11 equal to 51 and H21 equal to 3. So this one has Euler characteristic equal to 8, and similarly it can be constructed in the Narayan in the Narayan construction by specifying the metric in this form and the anti-symmetric tensor in this form and fixing the radii. So this distinction between these two models will be the key property that we'll try to use in studying the F theory embedding, F and or M theory. So in F theory, we compactify on Calabi-Yau threefold to from 12 to 6 dimensions, or on a Calabi-Yau fourfold from 12 to 4 dimensions, and the computification is done on spatial Calabi-Yau models that have been studied by Boissin and Bolsilla, and those are the elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau manifold, that is manifolds that admit an elliptic fiber at each point on a two-dimensional complex base. These Calabi-Yaus are specified by writing down the Weierstrass equation for the fiber, where f and g are complex functions which depend on the coordinates of the base. Waff and Morrison have shown that the number of the rank of the gauge group is given by this equation, the number of hypermultiplets is given by this equation, and the number of tensor multiplets is given by this equation. For the Z2 cos E2 on SO4 cube lattice, which was studied by Morrison and Waffa, H11 is 51, H21 is 3, R of V is 32, and then you have that there are 4 neutral hypermultiplets and 17 tensor multiplets. So the first step is to find the Weierstrass representation for the fiber, and this is given in this form, where this F and G have this representation, and when we pick the leading singularity near each one of these points, then the fiber that generates will give rise to an S of 8 singularity, and those have been classified by Martinek and Waffa. So since we have eight such points, then the gauge group that we obtain is SO8 to the 8, and R of V is equal to 32. Since we have the number of intersecting singularities is equal to, when two singularities collide, is equal to 16, so we need 16 extra tensor multiplet to resolve the singularities, and therefore this is consistent with the spectrum for the 51,3 Z equals the 2 orbifold. So this gives the elliptic vibration for the Z equals the 2 orbifold on SO4 cube lattice with H11, H21 equal to 51,3. So the next step is to find the elliptic vibration for the Z2 cos the 2 on SO12 lattice with H11, H21 equal to 27,3, which is related to the free fermionic models. So what we want to do, the first step is to try to connect between the 51,3 Z2 cos the 2 orbifold and the 27,3 Z2 cos the 2 orbifold. And then what we want to do is to implement the way to connect between these two models in the F-theory quantification of the 51,3 model. So this work was done with Per Berglund, John Ellis, Nanopoulos, and Zhong and Chu. And the first to find this first step, we used the Landau-Gisbert formalism, so in which you specify a superpotential which mimics the compactified space. So the representation of a T2 torus is given by this form. Then we take a product of 3-2-2 tori, and we mod out by 2 Z2 symmetries, and this then gives rise or reproduces the spectrum of the 51,3 model. So to connect to the 27,3 Z2 cos the 2 orbifold, we add a freely acting twist, and this freely acting twist then projects half of the twisted state, and then you obtain that the spectrum is reduced from 51,3 to 27,3, and so this reproduces the data of the free fermionic model. So the next step that we want to take is to implement this freely acting Z2 twist in the elliptic vibration for the 51,3 model, and for this purpose the cubic form is not convenient, so we represent the vice-versa representation for the 51,3 model in a quartic representation by bringing one of the branch points from infinity to a finite point. So by this rescaling we can rewrite the fiber in this form, where there is a relation between the functions which appear here and the functions which appear in the cubic representation. So now we implement this this extra Z2 projection, and what you see is that in this case the number of singularity points with enhanced symmetry are reduced by a factor of 2. Again, due to the invariance under this Z2, requiring invariance under this additional Z2 symmetry. And similarly, so the rank of the gauge group is reduced by half, and similarly the number of intersecting singularities is reduced by 2, and therefore what we get is that we have now only 9 tensor multiplets. And this is consistent with what we expect from the 27,3 model. However, there are puzzles which arise when we try to study this F-theory on the 27,3 model. And the puzzle is that there appear new type of singularities. So to see that, we can study a second way to realize the connection between the 51,3 and 27,3 models, and then start with a product of 3-2-2 tori, which are parameterized by 3 complex coordinates, z1, z2, and z3. So this is the tori identification. Now consider z2 twist and possible shifts of order 2, and when we mod out a tori by a z2 symmetry, then it will produce it will have 4 fixed points. So the 51,3 model is produced by taking 2 Z2 twistings. So in the first one we twist 2 tori and one is left fixed, and in the second one we twist 2 other tori and one remains fixed. So we have 4 fixed points from here, 4 from here, and we have 16 total from this one and another 16 from here, and their product gives another sector, which will give one additional or 16 more fixed points. So there is a total of 48 fixed points from the twisted sectors here, and that's 3 plus 3 from the untwisted sector. So this produces the data for the 51.3 model. Now, if we add a freely acting shift, by which we identify points by shifting them by one half, okay, we shift all three tori simultaneously. Okay, so this will not produce any new fixed points. So this is a freely acting shift, but it will, since it identify any two fixed points of the original 51.3 quantification, then the number of fixed points is reduced from 48 to 24. So this reproduces the data. This is another way to realize the connection between the 51.3 and the 27.3, that took us to fifth fermionic orbifold. So the gamma shift, this additional shift, is freely acting. There are no new singularities. However, if we regard the Calabi-Yau threefold as a fibration, say then these two coordinates are identified as a base, and this coordinate is identified as a fiber, then this freely acting shift is not freely acting on the base in this case. So though it is freely acting on the Calabi-Yau threefold, it is not freely acting on the base, and there are four additional singularities, which are singularities of the fibration, but they are not singularities of the Calabi-Yau threefold. So there are no additional H11 and H21 forms which can be used to resolve these singularities. And furthermore, the fiber at this point is not well defined. It simply shrinks to one half of its original size. There is a second puzzle which arises in this model, and that's the gravitational anomaly, which is consistent for the 51.3 model, is not consistent for the 27.3 model. And these puzzles arise precisely because of the action of gamma on the fiber. And to see that, we consider another model. So in this case, we shift only the base coordinates, and the coordinate of the fiber is left fixed. And in this case, there will be one additional sector giving rise to four additional H11 and four additional H21 form. So the spectrum in this model is 31.7. And so in this case, the singularities can be resolved in the usual manner, and the gravitational anomalies are satisfied. So the puzzles in the 27.3 model arise precisely because of the action of the additional shift on the fiber. And if we consider this as a type 2B string model, then the action of this shift on the fiber is associated with some action on the dilaton. So at this point, this is not yet we do not yet know what is the resolution of this puzzle. We don't know if this indicates that this Calabi-Yau manifold is simply not a consistent F-theory background. This can be one possible solution, or whether there's some more interesting physics associated with this action of the shift on the fiber in this case. So at this point, there's not yet a resolution of this problem. There are some related M-theory studies. So you can take this modern study M-theory quantification on it, and both the groups and Penn and in Princeton have studied M-theory quantification to five dimension on elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau manifolds. Now the case of the existence of these additional singularities means that this model, this Calabi-Yau threefold, does not admit, or this elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold does not admit a global section, but it does admit a bisection. And this feature that it does not admit a global section, or that this use of a freely acting shift, has been used by the group at Princeton to produce Calabi-Yau threefold with a non-trivial pi 1, which can be used to break the gut symmetry to the Stamler gauge group. So this class of elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold, which do not admit a global section, may be interesting for phenomenological purposes. However, the works that both the Penn and the Princeton group are based on a paper by Friedan, Morgan, and Witten, which have calculated the Chern classes for elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau, and in those cases, in this work, the fiber is assumed to be non-singular, whereas in the 27.3 model, or for example, the 51.3 model, the fiber is singular. So, in order to try to study M theory complication on the 27.3 model, one needs to extend Friedan, Morgan, and Witten to the case of singular fibers, which, at least according to Morgan, there's no fundamental obstruction to achieve that. So, the message that I think that at present, I think the most urgent issue in particle theory or in particle physics is the nature of the electroweak symmetry breaking. And currently, unification and supersymmetry seem promising, and superstring theory provides a window to unification with gravity. The realistic free fermionic models are the most advanced to date, and they reproduce many of the features of the observed standard model. The success of these models can be traced, I think, to the underlying Z2 equals the 2 orbifold structure, and in the non-perturbative framework of M and F theory, one would want to understand. So I think that the success of the realistic free fermionic model indicates that the true string vacuum may be connected to the Z2 equals the 2 orbifold in the vicinity of the free fermionic point in the Narayan moduli space. And to go from the other direction, what we would want to know is to try to see whether this point is for some reason preferred in the framework of M and F theories. So I'm actually done with this part, and I can stop here, or I actually prepared this since there was some interest by Tony, also the work on quantum mechanics, so maybe it's more suitable for a different talk.
Did your theory, your MSSM, have R parity or not?
Well, the at this stage it has R parity. It depends on flat directions, because R parity is gauge B minus L. So B minus L is gauged at the level of SO10.
If you
spontaneously break R parity, if you spontaneously break B minus L, then in general you can generate R parity violating terms. So that requires studying higher orders operators. Because they will not appear at the cubic level.
Well, they could appear at the cubic level.
No, they cannot appear at the effective cubic level.
Yeah,
but not they will be generated from...
Mm-hmm. You haven't done that.
Sorry?
You haven't done that yet.
No. Actually, this is something that, we are pursuing at the moment.
What's the conclusion about the 27.3 model?
Sorry?
The conclusion about the 27.3 model, it's just inconsistent with the anomaly from cancer?
No, that's a simplistic, we don't know, because that's a simplistic interpretation.
Yeah.
It's one. I mean, there are various because you see the fact it would be very puzzling because this freely acting shift should not destroy the fibration. You see, it gives rise to these extra singularities, but aside from these extra singularities, it preserves the fibration everywhere. So you have only these four points that are peculiar. So it will be very peculiar if it does not admit. So you have a bisection rather than a global section. So you can think of that for that you have additional multiplets that you cannot see them in the perturbative theory that will cancel the gravitational anomaly.
And non-trivial conspiracy between perturbative and non-perturbative.
I'm sorry?
You're hoping that there's a non-trivial conspiracy.
Right.
There.
Yeah, in some sense. I mean, that. Type of states that arise, it has been argued in other examples that such states appear. That you by studying dual models, you see states that appear in one limit, but you don't see them in the other limit. So,
do you know of any other examples where anomalies don't cancel?
Yes, I think that there's various works that have been done by people studying this free fermionic type 1 torolic duality, and that have discussed cases where the anomalies don't cancel, and they conjecture that the states must appear in some esoteric way. There are various possibilities, like people have discussed fractional brains and this and that. But at this stage, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know. The point is that I don't know if this is an inconsistent background, which can be an answer, and I'll be perfectly happy with it. I mean, it still provides a good M theory background. So, or there is some other answer. So at this stage, I simply don't know.
What do you mean by fractional brains?
These have been discussed by, I think, by Witten and some others.
I think that
there have been, It's a proposal that Devin Bernstein made to me, so you have this possibility. But so this is just at this stage. Again, I mean, I don't know what the resolution would be.